Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Wednesday morning, talking all things college football right now. To help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Seth Emerson from The Athletic. Seth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Seth, we've been going through your column at The Athletic after Greg Sankey's comments the other day about where things are headed right now after the House NCAA versus House settlement and what Greg Sankey said. And as you pointed out in your column, maybe more specifically what he didn't say in his comments the other day. What has stood out to you about the way that Greg Sankey has kind of handled this in the aftermath of the NCAA versus House settlement?
Well, like he does with a lot of stuff, very carefully. He learned that from Mike Slive to kind of under-promise and over-deliver. So he's not coming out and proclaiming anything grandiose. He's being careful about a lot of things. He's, you know, things that are out there, he'll confirm, he'll talk about, like, that, you know, the revenue sharing part of it. But he's, when we were asking him about roster limits, for one thing, last night, he was kind of careful about confirming a lot of stuff, because my understanding is that there's still a lot of details that not that have to be worked out, but that aren't being announced until the judge approves the settlement. And that if for some reason the judge doesn't approve the settlement, they expect her to, but you know, she may not, that they don't want some of those details out, that they both sides agreed to this. So it's still kind of just a, you know, I ran into someone, I'm at the Hilton right now stalking people. I ran into one SEC official and, you know, we were saying, are you talking about this? You're talking about that, like non-house settlement stuff. And he said, yeah, you know, we're not really going to decide anything this week. We're just kind of talking about this house settlement and the ramifications of it. And that's dominated the week.
So, where do you think this is going, Seth? We've been trying to figure this out. I think about it like every day, and I think we're probably heading toward eventually some kind of collective bargaining, you know, labor management relationship. But I mean, at this point, I get surprised every couple months, so I probably should stop predicting things. Like right now,
right,
where do you think it's going?
You know, I think it'll, unfortunately, and I don't want to introduce politics into this, but I think what happens in November is going to have some effect on it. Nothing's going to happen between now and November as far as Congress. They're still talking about wanting an antitrust exemption Sankey actually made a point Monday of saying, you've never heard me talk about
right.
an antitrust exemption. You talk about safe harbor. So what that exactly looks like some sort of federal carve out that, you know, we can do this, we can do that, something like that, I guess. But you know, Sankey doesn't want there to be athletes termed employees, but when you asked him about collective bargaining, he kind of, you know, left the door open or showed some openness for some sort of collective bargaining agreement with an entity that is a college union that doesn't classify them as employees per se. And there's a proposal out there for that. I don't know how much traction it's getting yet, but it really seems like having athletes be termed employees is kind of just going to be the last hill that they're going to die on. And if they ultimately do have to do some sort of collective bargaining, that they'll do that if they can somehow avoid the employees part of it. I may write this, Joe, as I'm putting on my columnist hat. We like columns at The Athletic these days. Like this all to me comes down to the transfer portal. Like when you talk to fans about revenue sharing and employees and collective bargaining and blah, 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 you know, their eyes start to glaze over. And I get that,
yep.
You know, but the one thing they wrap their mind, even NIL and like pay for play, you know, people like rail against it, like, oh, NIL, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, does anybody really care what players are earning as long as they're staying at their school.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Right? It's the movement. It's when players move and the perception, often reality, that they moved for more money. If you took that part out of that, if you got that genie back in the bottle and made it so that, go back to the rule that existed before attorney generals such as the one in your state, you know, got the injunction where you get one freebie. You can transfer once and not have to sit out, but then after that, you do have to sit out. That might calm the waters down a lot with pay for play, NIL, blah, blah, blah. And I think a lot of people would then, everything else would just kind of be like, all right, let the, you know, worry that, you know, let everyone else work it out. The problem is, guys, how you get that, because it really does seem the courts are going to say that absent some sort of antitrust exemption or absent it being collectively bargained, which is why the pros have salary caps and contracts and, you know, you can't move, you know, unless you're a free agent, et cetera, et cetera. That the courts are going to say that the NCAA transfer rules can't exist, that they're illegal. And I'm one, you know, despite me being one of the people that has believed that, you know, kind of been on the player's side through the years on a lot of this, that I also think that NCAA transfer rules are reasonable, you know, not when it was you have to sit out even the first time you transfer. But I thought it was a reasonable rule that you can transfer once and then you have to sit out. The idea of players transferring once every year, playing at four different places over 4 years, is just something that is really hard for a lot of people. And if they were able to somehow manage that and get back to what, you know, what we all know and have some roster stability, I think all the other stuff would just be gravy.
No, I totally agree with you and on both points that would calm so much down. And it would, I mean, cause I think that's the big thing. Fan experience, you know, does suffer if it's, you're constantly having to review the roster and, you know, figure out who's on your team and who left for your rival and things like that. But also agree that, like, how does that happen? The courts have basically said, like, you can't go back to that. So there has to be, I mean, it basically just has to look like that, right? Like contract coaches leave, which is true. People talk about that all the time, right? But they also still have buyouts. They have contracts, which is
coach every, with some exceptions, like, you know, Lane Kiffin was in Tennessee 1 year,
right?
You know, I mean, they don't bounce around that much. You know, there is still a trajectory. You go, you're an assistant, you're a head coach, and you get 3 years or two if you're really terrible. You know, but for players to bounce around like that, it's not good for the fan experience. And it might not be good for the player's experience, but it might be good for their bank account.
Yep, really interesting point. Seth, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning and carving some time out for your busy day down there. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. We'll take your thoughts on all things college sports on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Paul Kuharski is in the building as well. We'll get to all that. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.